Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to another episode of Early Work, the podcast in which I, Rhys James, will invite a guest from the world of entertainment, if we're calling it that, to come and read to me the creative writing they did when they were younger before they were doing the job they're doing now. Hopefully they're embarrassed by it, and then I'll read one of mine that I am very ashamed of, I swear. This week's guest was Maisie Adam, the fantastic comedian, very, very funny comedian. Definitely go and check her out if you can. And she was reading us some love letters that she was commissioned to write for other people. It's a very, very strange situation to do when you were the age that she was, but she's a fascinating character at school, as you will find out in this episode. Welcome to Early Work, Maisie Adam.
Hello.
Hello, Maisie.
Hi, Rhys.
For the listeners, you probably best know Maisie from the tweet that I did about her being very funny. Everyone remembers that, right?
So kind.
I tweeted saying, Maisie's really funny. You said you cried on a bus.
Oh, my God, yeah.
But then
I have just met you, though, outside going, hi, you've just met me and I've been crying at a tweet that Graham Souness did.
Exactly.
Me. I'm not always constantly crying.
Well, to be honest, Maisie, when you said that, I'd only just followed you, I think. I just met you and worked with you like twice in a week, and you were very funny at both gigs, and you did all different material, which
did
is what surprised me. I think so.
Ooh,
so I was like, oh, my God, you've got so much stuff. Then I tweeted and you were like, oh, my God, I cried. I thought, oh, that, you know what? That tweet must have meant a great deal to Maisie. And then about 2 days later, someone else just tweeted saying Maisie's great, and you were like, I'm crying. Someone else did it. You're like, I'm crying. All right. I was like,
I just cry a lot.
This lady needs to get a grip.
Sorry. Yeah.
You cry at praise.
One for the post. Get a grip.
Get a grip.
Rhys James.
Do you cry at criticism as well?
Not as much as I cry at compliments.
Really?
I cry at heartwarming. Like in films, I cry at heartwarming moments.
So you like a positive emotional person?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Whereas when someone like, in a film, if it's a breakup, I'm like, oh, they'll get over it. But like, if it's a proposal,
that's
I'm
a
like,
nice way to be.
Like horrendous.
Yeah. What a lovely way to live your life.
Yeah, I know. It means I just cry at Christmas films, but like not at really heavy sort of period dramas.
Does that mean people are like, what's wrong with you? If you watch like a really dramatic, sad
also,
thing.
Also, I cry loads in like in stuff like films or plays or anything like that, and I don't really cry a lot in real life unless it's at something like
someone giving you a compliment.
So I'll cry at a compliment on Twitter, but then like if someone's like, your dog's gonna die, I'm like, oh, that's so sad. I'm quite plastic about the whole thing.
Oh no.
Yeah, I think
is that what, some sort of detachment
I
thing?
I think so. Just my universal response is, oh no.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
Maybe that's an artist thing. Maybe it's an artist thing to go.
I think so.
Fiction is what affects you.
Yes. Yeah.
And not reality.
You know, like at Edinburgh when everyone's dead emotional, like, and anything can tip you over. If I get a bad review, I'm like, oh, that's frustrating. Whereas if I get a good one, I go full.
I've worked so hard for this.
Oh, my God.
Oh, this moment. It's all been building to
this. I go like 100% like Oscar speech.
Yeah.
You know? I just want to say it's been such a journey.
My parents, you raised me all to get this four in Broadway, baby. What an absolute honour.
Chortle student comic of the year.
Well, Maisie, if I had to guess what you were like at school, and I do because it's the first format point of this show, whatever it is, number one, good at sport.
Yes, in one.
Yeah, true?
Yeah. Cross country champion every year.
Yeah. Number two, fun.
Oh, thank you.
Do people consider you fun at school?
I think so, yeah. I was up north recently at my granny's house and the British gas man came and I opened the door and it was a lad I went to school with. I was like, oh, hi, Jimmy. And he was saying about, he was like, oh, I've seen you on telly and all of this. And then he went, well, you always were a character at school. And I thought, that is so passive aggressive. You were a character at school means you were really annoying.
Yeah.
You were really attention seeking.
But did you see yourself that way? No. That was a surprise.
I just thought I was dead funny.
Right.
Yeah. Still do.
That's the thing about telling people what I think they were like at school is that they also have no idea, really.
No one really knows who they are.
We
were chatting about this the other day on a radio show about words that we're always used in our school reports, and I always got overzealous.
And that's very diplomatic.
I remember asking my dad what that was, and he was like, it's a really polite way of saying you're very annoying.
Shut up.
Yeah. Quite irritating to teach.
Well, my next thing, I've got overzealous. I've got 50-50 on whether you had an exceptional relationship with teachers or a terrible one, not in the middle, and I've taken a punt on exceptional.
Yes.
Yeah?
No, you're 100% right on 50-50. So teachers either
thought so I was didn't need
great.
To pick one.
No. Teachers either thought I was, like, great and we would have a laugh. Like, the cool teachers, they were nice and they could see that, like, she's not going to get an A, but she
And there's absolutely no confirmation bias there, Maisie. Oh, the cool teachers are the ones that liked me.
Yeah.
And the lame teachers are the ones who didn't.
I was head girl at school, which was voted for by students. And the head of sixth form was not happy about it because the head boy was a lad who, like, then went on to Cambridge. He now works in the Pentagon, whereas I do this.
Which Pentagon? That's what I want to know.
Just some open mic comedy club in Bicester. And I remember him saying, like, oh, you're quite a strange choice for head girl. And I was like, what you mean is you can spell fudge with my GCSE results. Like, that's what you mean there. So, like, some of the sort of laid-back teachers who were just about whoever turned up and tried and enjoyed lessons, they liked me. But
and
the
were
ones
they
who
the
were
ones
striving for results...
Who were teaching the more arty...
Oh, media studies. 100%.
Creative.
You don't have to be polite about that. My
No, but I also mean English. What was that like? Was the English teacher
a
English fan of yours?
Yeah, English teacher was called Mr Bean. He was great. He was so good.
I suppose you've got to be pretty relaxed if you're called Mr Bean.
Yeah, really
what
good.
What was he doing? Always dropping the pen? Always messing up the whiteboard?
Little Teddy. Yeah. Pink Panther on the desk. No, he was great. And then I did... Drama teacher
liked you?
Drama teacher loved me. Yeah, she was great. I went back recently to my school to do a gig there, like for a charity that they do. And in the drama corridor, she'd put like newspaper cutouts of my reviews at Edinburgh, being like
incredible.
Former student. I was like, Mrs. Bray, you're so sweet.
Incredible. And did you, I bet you cried about that.
Oh, yeah, fully like, yeah, sobbing in the drama corridor.
Yeah. And I bet that meant more to you than most. Positive.
Yeah.
Some tweets mean more than others, but I bet those that are reviewed.
Rhys James's tweet, Mrs. Bray's drama board.
Yeah.
And then media studies, which was like, I still can't believe that's an A level. Sorry to
I did it
say
as well.
That.
I did it AS level, yeah.
Yeah, and then like all of the science teachers, maths, they were not patient with me. I was really bad at maths, really bad at maths. Anything sort of particularly academic, they weren't a big fan.
Right. Well, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, the questions I'm asking are you creative? Were you creative at school? And you must have been. If you're encouraged only by teachers of arty, creative subjects.
Yeah.
And then, whereas you're a bit bad at math, so then they...
Oh, not a bit bad. Like, I was in the class where they give you, like, coloured blocks to put together.
Right, and you couldn't even count them.
Nah.
What about art? Were you good at art?
No, really terrible at it. Most people, their art teachers were, like, quite hippie and quite cool, weren't they?
My
art teacher was the most uptight, stern... She was absolutely terrifying. So you used to get your homework on a Friday and you had a week to do it. Like, I think my art was so bad, partly because I've probably had shaking hands doing it. It was so petrifying. And you used to have to hand it in, and then she'd throw the books out onto your table, and you'd have to go to the page in your book to find what she'd marked it, and she'd give it a mark out of 10. It was, like, Strictly. And she was an absolute Craig Revel Horwood with it. It was so savage. There was always something...
And Craig Revel Horwood does look a bit like an art teacher. got that sort of hair, that complexion.
Yeah. This teacher was, she'd just gone through a very messy divorce, I think. I think that's the excuse we were trying to give her.
You were saying,
oh, maybe she's going through a tough time. But all the other sort of creative subject, like music, can't play anything. But I just used to doss around, get on DJ on the
Oh, yeah, you just press the little
on the keyboard.
Samples.
Yeah. So good. So good.
That was amazing. Did
music
you ever have to do it in music? One of the best days of my life, I think, was when they were like, get into group three of your choice and you just write a rap.
Yeah, it was so good.
And it was like, so all right. Yeah.
There'd be one person who probably had like grade three piano.
Yeah.
So it'd just be them doing some chords whilst the other two thought they were...
Just put the drum sample on.
Yeah.
Well, I'm walking in the playground. My name is Reese. And that's how I became such a good poet, as you'll see. What about performing? Were you performing at school much?
Yes. I used to be, like... Well, I've always, like, loved drama and always used to be in the plays. But there was sort of, like... there was a kind of divide amongst the performers community in a very much a performers Jets and Sharks kind of way of who was... into like drama and theatre, and he was into musicals, and I was very much drama and theatre because I can't
serious
sing
side.
For shit. No, it's just because I would always be the funny role in a play, but I hated the sort of jazz hands musical vibes.
Right.
I hated that.
But it wasn't because you had like a love of like Shakespearean theatre and you wanted to delve deep into like, no, it's all about the theory of
that drama teacher was so, genuine, like joking aside, she was so cool, and she made like Shakespeare really kind of like appealing, but even then I was like, I don't get the deep stuff.
Don't tell me that she did it.
Just give me the jester role.
Modern remake of Romeo and Juliet where it's like a gangster and
I saw this thing on Twitter today that was using the new Stormzy post, you know, the heavy is the head thing,
right,
with the crown, and they tweeted it being like, here's my lesson plan for how Stormzy's poster relates to Macbeth. And I was like, none of your kids will think you're cool.
They will hate it more than if you just said, look, just learn this. This is what you need for the exam.
Yeah. We had a supply maths teacher who came in and was teaching us about the decimal point, and she was trying to tell you about how you move it to the left, and she did the whole Beyonce to the left song.
Oh no.
Every negative number moves in a box to the left. It was, and we were, and obviously we were the Dougies at maths.
Like, what did
we,
that mean?
Bottom set. So we were
thickos.
Like, yeah, so we were already coming into maths with a sense of humour. So we just absolutely rinsed her for that. I think she nearly cried.
Did she do a little dance?
Oh, it was, yeah, like sidestepping to the left. It was the saddest, whitest thing I've ever seen.
Oh, my God.
It's so, so bad. Then there was also a video with James Blunt that she got up where he sang My Triangle to the tune of You're Beautiful. And that was about...
I mean, that isn't even close.
Oh, it was awful.
That's just syllables.
Yeah. Yeah.
How can that possibly...
She basically was like, you lot are so thick when it comes to maths, you will only learn through...
The charts.
Through song, yeah. Still the other day, I sat... Did you not sing the Pi Area song? Like, Pi R squared sounds like area to me. If you need a circumference, you just use Pi D. No.
No, but I mean, I
sang that to my boyfriend the other day, and he was like,
I don't think we're going to be able to clear that.
That was just bottom set.
That must be bottom set, of course.
Yeah. You only learn songs like that if you were taught in a porter cabin.
Yeah. That's deep. You put that on a bumper sticker. That is bleak. I mean, it sounds bleaker and bleaker, although it does sound...
The only way it could get bleaker is if you then do it in music class with DJ underneath it. Pie, R squared.
Oh, God, I love the idea of trying to find songs. I'm surprised. Slide to the left.
Oh,
crisscross.
That could have been there. 100%. The decimal point.
Everybody do your sums.
That is subtract now, y'all.
But that is weird because that sounds like a creative teacher to me, but just in the wrong subject. She just swapped with the art teacher.
Yes, I think had she been in a vocational subject, she'd have been all right. But it was the fact that she was trying to teach us something that we genuinely needed to get through to sixth form.
But like, do you remember being sat in an exam, trying to remember what pi was, and then doing a little song in your head?
Yes.
And it helped?
Yeah. Yeah.
And did you get a good mark in maths?
No, I scraped the C and and cried when I got the C because I was like, I'm into the sixth form.
Exactly.
I can finally just do the vocational subject.
And sixth form comes after?
Fifth form.
No, year 11.
Year 11.
There's that maths.
Yeah. It's because there's not a song about it.
I led you into a trick there. Were you writing anything that you then performed, or were you performing in like the plays that were already a thing?
No, plays were already a thing.
So you weren't writing skits?
No. No. Why? Did I strike you as a skit writer at school?
Potentially, yeah.
No.
Okay, well, when did you start wanting to try and do stand-up then?
Oh, not till after uni.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I went and did a drama degree at uni, spent 3 years slowly sort of not liking it more and more and more, but still wanted to, like, basically be that attention-seeking little shit from school and still be on stage. The thing with acting is it relies so much on other people. So I would turn up having learnt the lines for the day we were told to be off book by and, like, ready, warmed up, fully, like, I am ready. And then the rest of the cast could come in and, like, half of them haven't learnt the lines. Or even if they have, then the director might be a bit rubbish. Or even if the director's good, the script is bad. Like, it relies on so many other factors. So I kind of came out of it a bit like, oh, that's going to be mega hard to do as a career after spending £27,000 on a degree to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Great life choice. And I was like, oh, I still want to do performing. Like, even when I was in plays, as I say, I liked being the funny one. Because there's something quite, you'll know, it's quite sadistic, but there's something quite nice about getting validation straight away through the form of laughter.
Of course.
Whereas, like, if you're in a serious role, you don't know if you've done good, really, until the end, and you're like, they're either standing or they're not.
See, I completely agree with you, and I had the same thing when I would do acting things at school. I think good actors do know.
Do you think?
I think proper actors, they can tell.
Well, yeah, like, when you're like Damian Lewis and you're on the stage in the West End, you must know you're good.
I think you can tell from the silence even, but obviously we're not qualified to do that. I think you could even just tell that you would go, well, I know more about this than anyone else, so I know I'm doing a good performance, I know I'm doing a bad one right now, which we often have if we're having an okay gig. We'll be like,
yes,
I'm actually being excellent right now, or, oh, I don't know how I'm getting away with this.
Yes.
I'm so unfunny today.
Yes. Yeah.
But you're still doing fine just because you've got the rhythms of comedy or whatever.
Yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
I just think actors, because I always thought that as well. I was like, it's just so hard to tell. And like, if you're not doing something that has an instant yes, well done, or no, didn't like that every 12 seconds or whatever, then
you're
basically
like, gauging it.
How are you possibly ever going to know until a review comes out? Mm-hmm. And even then, that's just one person. So,
right.
Whereas for us, it's like, no. The whole appeal
is
this.
Yeah, this is going well.
But I do get the
laughing.
Feeling that if you're a proper actor,
you must know.
Then you do know whether you're good or not.
Yeah, so that was kind of like the unappealing thing about acting for me. So I came out and was like, right, I'm going to give stand-up a go. So gave it a go at the end of 2016 and then just sort of... But I was still living up north in like a rural village, so there was no open mics nearby.
Yeah.
So like did one gig, filmed it and then sent it to like loads and loads of promoters I could find on Facebook and stuff. So then was coming down to London to do 5 minutes on a bill that's got 18 other people on.
And really getting that buzz for it.
Yeah.
That's when you go, yeah, this is what it's all been for.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think your younger self, the you at school that you were talking about, were you into comedy then?
Oh, loved it. Absolutely adored
it. Do you think that person would be a fan of yours now, of what you do now?
I think so. Like, it's difficult to answer that question because you're basically saying,
abstract.
Do you think you're the shit? Like,
well,
I think.
Do you just think it is the sort of thing that you...
Yes, I think the kind of comedy I do is inspired and certainly takes sort of inspiration from comics who I grew up really, really adoring and really, really liking. Going back to crying at nice comments after my... No, it wasn't after my first show. It was after So You Think You're Funny. Somebody wrote in a review of it, they compared me to a female Yorkshire Peter Kay. And that, to me, was like the ultimate 10 out of 10. Because growing up in York, like Peter Kay is like a sort of pinnacle 10 out of 10. Like, he just sort of narrated our lives, really, growing up. He was just, there was no one as good as that. Him and Victoria Wood were just like completely bang on about every observation about our lives growing up. So...
That's pretty early as well in your career to get that.
Honestly, I was literally...
Quit today.
Yeah.
That's it. I've got the Peter Kay quote.
In fact, it's the Peter Kay quote, Rhys James, and then...
On the wall of the school.
Is the
Peter Kay quote on the wall of the school?
Yeah, it is.
Is it?
Yeah.
Of course. Were you writing stuff at that age at all? Any creative stuff? If it wasn't comedy, were you... Is there anything you were writing, creative writing?
Aside from the stuff I'm going to bring up.
Yeah?
So this was a lot younger. So this, what I'm going to bring up, was like primary school.
Oh, right, all right, wow.
So this is really young. And I wouldn't say it's creative, really, at all. It was more just like, I'm starting to have feelings for these boys. How do I manifest this? I know, I'll just write really shit love letters and poems.
Is this the actual book that you've got in front of
book.
You? This
is my actual book. It's covered in footballs.
Yeah. Were you really into football?
I still am. I absolutely adore
right.
it. Yeah.
What age were you this time?
I think I was in year six.
Right,
at this point,
right,
so
okay.
you're like 11 or 10. I think I was 10.
Yeah.
When the names in this book, who they're written for, are people who I went to primary school and not secondary school with. So I must have been about 10.
And these were love. You would write love letters.
Oh my God, I've been so nervous about sharing it. I dug them out for this after agreeing to come on, and then read them back and was like, these are really, really quite
bad.
That
seems to be a common process.
So basically, I was quite an entrepreneur at primary school, and I basically would write love letters for people who fancied somebody. So they would be like, I fancy this guy. And I go, no problem, tell me some things about him. And then I'd write a love letter.
I can't believe you were such like a... This is Ocean's 11. You were a con artist at 10.
It's
Ocean's
so
10.
Bad. So I have my poem prices here. I can't really work out... I don't think this would have worked out as a business. So it's 50p per verse.
Oh, wow.
Or you could have this sort of package that was one poem per week, brackets, 4 weeks, and that was £3.
Oh, I see.
Don't really get how that works out.
Little discount.
If you need it in one day, so like you need fast turnaround, I don't know, maybe he's moving schools.
It sounds like Amazon Prime, yeah.
Yep, £2. Rhyme with name. I think that's like if you want me to rhyme with their name. So that would set you back £1.
Were you absolutely loaded at the time? Were you making this?
I think I got
non-stop cheddar.
I don't think I got commissioned for many. It was mainly for my close group of friends.
And did you?
A lot of them would be like, "Yeah, I'll pay you next week," and you'd be like, "Yeah, okay." And I don't think I ever did actually get paid.
So you didn't break any legs, any 10-year-old legs, because they owed you money for two verses that you'd given them.
Turning up outside their door, like,
sorry, but I did rhyme with his name.
There's a 20p interest on each day not paid. Some of these names as well, like you can't rhyme anything with. I can't say his full name, but you can't rhyme anything with Swithenbank.
Swithenbank?
Swithenbank.
Swithenbank. I mean, that sounds like a different type of school than I thought you went to.
No, this was my first crush's last name.
Swithenbank.
Yeah.
Sorry, but I know you said you can't say the full name. I think if he's listening, he knows it's him. How many Swithenbanks were at the school?
Shout out to all the Swithenbanks that I went to school with.
I mean, if you're called Swithenbank, you've got to expect... Fair enough.
Okay, so this one I went obviously with the roses are red and violets are blue kind of vibes.
Heard of it.
I'm only 10, so cut me some slack. Roses are red, violets. Violets is spelled V-I-O-L-I-T-S. Violets.
Violets.
Violets are blue. You are so gorgeous and I fancy you. Grass is green, the sky is blue. I am in love from my head to my shoe. Your hair is brown, my hair is red. This was not me, obviously. This was what I was writing for a girl called Helen who had red hair. I'd done my research. Your hair is brown, my hair is red. You make me go crazy inside my head. Your name is Ollie, my name is Helen. Being your girlfriend would feel like heaven. And that would have set you back £1.
I love it so much. I love the lack of subtlety immediately.
Oh,
I fancy you.
I fancy you.
Just so you know. Let's not waste any more time. I know the roses are red format already implies fancying you, but just to clarify, this is a message to say I fancy you. Lovely to show quite how close you were with Helen that the only things you really had to say were your hair's this colour,
your hair's
this colour.
It's like, listen, Helen, I don't have a lot of time.
You've asked for next day delivery?
Yeah.
What else do you expect?
You are cool, you are kind, you are always on my mind. I am funny, I am super, I'm in love with Tom Hooper. Can I say that was a banger. That was a banger.
Only two verses, so they clearly weren't not a flush
I think
customer.
I drew a little drawing for them, though.
Yeah, which, you know, from this angle doesn't look particularly savoury.
That's a crush there of my... Just saying, I love Maisie. He's wearing a Nike T-shirt.
Yeah, I was going to say, you did the classic thing that everyone did when they drew a picture of that era. You would always... There'd be one detail in the picture, and that is whatever top this person's wearing has a Nike tick on it.
Yeah.
Everyone was obsessed with Nike ticks.
Oh, yeah.
My friend got one in the back of his head.
No, I went to school with somebody who had a Nike tick on the back of the head. Jordan Probst. And everyone was like,
Gavin Ricks.
Yeah.
And he had white hair, so you could barely see it, so he filled it in with a permanent marker. True.
That's so
And
bad.
He was very popular because
his
he
parents.
Had a trampoline.
Oh, anybody who had a trampoline.
Oh, very
that,
popular,
that put
man.
Their social status.
Watching that Nike tick
way
bounce up.
Up
and down.
Yeah.
Also, he kept winning breakdancing contests.
Oh, he sounds quite cool.
Did he keep starting the contest just a bit? Yes. And then he would win them because he could do the worm.
Oh, no.
So, have you got any more?
Yeah, so this was... My template was one that I would sort of show people to be like, this is the sort
this
of
what
work
I'm, this is
I'm
what I'm
capable
of, yeah.
Should you wish to part ways
I need another case study. I'm going to have to see another case study.
We've got one for William I can't say his name, but basically, oh, I'm going to have to say his name because it's basically I've done one
poem.
Of those.
I can see that it's an acrostic poem because you've written the letter and then just like all acrostic poems, you put equals and then the start of the line.
So bad. What I like about this is I got to I and I did I equals I love you, and I think that I was then told to cross it out and put I fancy you because I think that was too keen.
Oh, I think she was 10 like, years not, old, don't
I
know
think
him that well.
I gave it back to her and she was like, I don't think I love William, I think I just fancy him.
Yeah.
So can you change that?
A little bit of feedback. Okay.
Yeah, that's fine. Come I'm on open, then. Open to interpretation. So W equals wickedly handsome. I is I fancy you. L is lovely eyes. The second L equals laughs nice and loud.
Okay.
So I think that was a comedian sort of looking for good traits in a guy, is that they laugh nice and loud. I equals interesting person. Really scraping the barrel with the compliments here.
Yeah.
A equals always hot. I'm assuming that means, like, not temperature-wise.
He's always fanning
himself. He's
always hot. He's boiling.
M is my favourite boy ever. And then we're on to his second name. T equals tough and strong. O is older than me by 17 days. D is daring and brave. And D is different to everyone else.
Well, he's older than a lot of people by 17 days.
What do you look for in a guy who's older than me by 17 days?
It's quite specific. I've got quite specific taste.
Honestly.
I don't mind an older man.
By 17
but
days.
There is a limit. There is an absolute limit. I like when you said wickedly handsome because it reminded me of John Travolta saying Adele Dazeem.
The wickedly talented.
The wickedly handsome William Todd.
I've been watching that over and over and over again recently and it's still so good. The panic in his eyes that you can see as it gets the auto-cue.
Wickedly talented. And that's
Adele
what you did
Dazeem.
There. He should have got you to ghostwrite it like you did for all these people. When you gave them back to these girls who then gave them to the boys, how did the boys react to receiving these? Do you know? Did you get to see that?
All I know is that not many relationships came out of it.
No.
Like, Helen never did become in a relationship with Ollie. I mean, yes, we're in year six, so what is a relationship? But I don't think they were hugely successful. I think maybe they occasionally led to, like, a kiss on the field.
Right, okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but yeah.
That's not a euphemism.
No, but as far as the language goes, it's a very exciting thing to hear.
Yeah.
A kiss on the field.
A kiss on
the field. Right. Genuinely harrowing. It's a harrowing sentence.
A kiss on the field.
A kiss on the field.
Sort of sounds like sort of Tom Waits.
It does sound like the title of a poem you might write.
A kiss on the field by Macy Adams.
Okay, well, I will judge you now.
Okay.
But there's three categories I have to rate you on.
Mm-hmm.
And they are, first of all, originality.
Mm-hmm.
Out of five.
Okay.
I mean, you're using phrases like wickedly handsome and you're saying 17 days older than me is what you want. So I'm going to give you a 5 out of 5
Thank
for originality.
You. Thank you.
I mean, you.
You
did use roses as a red, violets as a blue, but you spelt violets differently.
Violets.
And that is pretty original. The next is pure teen horniness. You're not a teenager.
No.
And it's not you. So you're so detached almost.
Yes.
That you can do this on behalf and not. There's no envy, there's no jealousy.
I think
you
it's
are
like
quite
that,
happy to think about football.
That pure teen horniness, like, this is the phase that just goes before that.
Yeah.
So, like, you don't know it's horniness, you just know that you're starting to fancy people.
Exactly.
But you're not, it's like, I don't know if this was a girl thing, but, like, it was, you started to fancy them, so you're like, so therefore, I love them and will marry them. It wasn't like, I want to kiss you. It's like, no, I want to have a family and live into old age with you from the age of 10.
I'm going to give it a 1 because there is still, you know, there's still an aspect there. I think it's horny enough. But it doesn't quite fit the brief.
Yes.
Mickey Mouse Club / Ryan Gosling, Ryan Goose score. Now, that is how much potential does it show for who you went on to be?
Great shout.
Does it represent? It does, to be honest, it doesn't really represent your vibe.
No,
I'd say.
It's very off brand, actually.
It's pretty off brand. Mm. It doesn't really. You went on to become a completely different.
Yeah.
It's quite well humoured, these things. I don't know if you would you have been having a laugh with this when you were doing it at
the
time?
No, these were very taken
you were very,
very seriously.
Serious about it.
Oh, yeah. I was like, I'm not being funny, Helen, but I've managed to get your name and her and his name into this. So that's a really good poem.
In which case?
Cough up your cash.
Oh, another one. I'm giving you another one. It's not a high score, but that it almost reflects better on you than it is. So that's a 7. I've got to read you one of mine.
Oh, my goodness.
Now this.
Were you charging for your poems?
God, no. I mean, you wouldn't charge for this.
Really?
Bear in mind, I was 17 when I wrote this.
Yeah, you see, I feel like I've got a wild card here, being like, I was 10 and I didn't know what I was feeling. You were.
You do have a backup, whereas it's like, no, Reece, take responsibility for how abysmal this is.
You knew what you were doing.
Ah, are you ready for this?
I am.
Okay.
Were they always of a theme?
No.
Okay.
Oh, well, most of them were about how I really fancied this girl and she didn't fancy me.
Really?
Most of them were about that.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's quite heartbreaking that you wrote poetry about it.
This isn't about that
at
all.
Is this a funny one, or is this still quite
earnest? I don't think it was meant to be. I think this was meant to be pretty deep, pretty philosophical.
Oh, my God,
it's called All In.
Oh,
wow. I wrote
it
in 2008. Oh, God. Stage one, you're dealt a hand. These cards were not what you had planned, but you're just seconds old when upon you these cards land. So as a fetus, your concern would not be what to plan, but more to escape the womanly cage to the strong birth of a man. So the hand that's dealt is actually not even in your hands, and where you stand is in the hands of a father-figured man. It is later that you form a bond of brothers, or brothers link and band, to form a band of brothers, like the three kings in your hand. It is then your job to brand these cards with the magic of your hand to personally, as a band of brothers, identify one's brand. The brand cannot be planned because it's intricate, like sand. Be careful not to show your bluff with sand inside your hand. These cards are all you stand on your hands, like a handstand. So if one brother's absent, you must ensure these cards are manned. In the case that one hand's open, then the dealer could be canned, for cheating, stealing, and hand-revealing are very strictly banned. But if you've managed an honest hand and everything's gone grand, then fate had planned the perfect hand for you to somehow land. So keep your unplanned, grandly branded card secret in your hand, for they will stand you where you land and then fold you. Understand?
Oh, my
All
God.
In, baby!
I've always thought you were quite cool.
No,
and
you
that
haven't.
Has completely,
no, you haven't.
No, honestly, I've always thought you were quite cool. That's completely changed my whole perception of you. Was that meant to woo someone, or was it meant
no,
to...
No, 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 that...
That this... was meant to be sort of a comment on anything that rhymes with stand, by the sound of it.
Yeah, I think hand was the first rhyme, and
yes.
I just went for it with that. What that is, there's a song by The Streets...
Yeah.
...where he explains how to do a con.
Right.
But it all rhymes, and I'm pretty sure it all rhymes
so
with the first
So this was you
thing.
Trying to be Mike Skinner.
It was me trying to be Mike Skinner, but also trying to be, like, Bill Bryson or, like, do
yes.
some philosophical shit.
Yes.
But it doesn't make any sense.
It would go from, like... rhyming quite sort of basically to very deep and philosophical. Yes. Intricate like sand, I think, was my favourite.
Well, sorry, how else did you describe sand?
I think that should be your next Edinburgh show.
Intricate like sand.
Intricate like
my
sand.
My favourite is these cards are all you stand on your hands, like a handstand. Intricate like sand, it just happened, so you might have missed that.
Oh, my Lord.
That is the most laboured way to get to... No, God, no, this is the first time.
I mean, I'm sure...
This is the first public airing of that. I wouldn't have even shown anyone that.
I'm sure you've discussed this on your other podcasts, but you know that scene in 22 Jump Street where Jonah Hill does the spoken word?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, this is what I imagine you being like if you ever did these.
I've done
there.
Poems on
the
stage.
Slam
I've done
poetry. Like Julia Robb Hurts.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I've done that sort of stuff on stage
no,
before
you
in my shows.
Oh, really?
They're not quite like that, and they have more of... They're more jokes that rhyme.
Okay.
But yeah, I would never do something like this, but it's bad stuff. 17. No one liked me.
Dear Lord.
I need you to rate that, please, on the same ones. Originality out of 5.
Originality, I'm going to go 3, because I think sometimes you just... rhymed stuff because it rhymed with sand as opposed to like an original abstract idea.
You're starting to sound as harsh as an art teacher now.
I am.
Just
an
chuck
art.
A book in front of me with a
Ms.
3.
I've gone full Ms. Morn here.
No, that I think that's pretty generous, a 3.
Yeah, I'm going in with a 3.
Pure teen horniness.
Teen
I was 17
horniness.
At the time.
I'm going to guess you weren't getting laid during this time.
Is it all the chat about hands?
I think so. It's very.
Is that the giveaway?
Yeah.
Obsessed with hands.
Just holding things and craving that the intimacy that sand cannot provide. It's very sexually frustrated, I think. It's
yeah.
Like, I'm not going to talk about girls, so I'll just talk about hands and sand and cards.
Genuinely, the first choice, not talking about girls, what's the next thing I'll think of?
Yeah.
Oh, is it my own hand?
Yeah. Yeah, so I think I'll give it 4 on that one. Only not going 5 because you didn't just go... Like, you just didn't address the elephant in the room that it wasn't... That you could have spoken about a girl, but instead you had to speak about...
Sure.
...hands.
Mickey Mouse Club, Ryan Gosling, Ryan Goose School, what does it represent?
It's longevity, is this about?
Like, this is about... does it show the potential of who I am now? How much
this is what I
that?
Mean. It's like, you're quite a cool guy now... And that is just, that was so uncool,
I
that
don't
poem.
Think the listeners to this are not going to be going, yeah, he is quite a cool guy.
No,
and this is ruined by this poem.
Not cool in like a,
in a cool way.
I was just about to get, not cool in like a popular kid way. Just cool in like, oh,
Reese
is cool.
And,
but this would be like, oh, I don't think I'd sit next to you on the bus if I knew you wrote stuff like that.
God, no.
You know,
I'd be writing this on the bus.
Well, yeah.
the wheels on the bus go round.
Oh my God,
and...
yeah, you'd be really reading into it.
Yeah.
But do they go round and round? What else goes round and round? Life, me, my thoughts, help.
My hand.
Yeah, my hands go round and round. Again, it always comes back to hands and the lack of things to touch. It remind me again what it technically is, the Mickey Mouse stuff.
It's, how much it's potential does this represent? Does this represent the future me?
No, I would say not at all. So I'd say two stars.
Two.
Yeah.
Fair enough. In which case?
A 3, a 4, and a 2.
Come on, you're the maths expert.
10, isn't it? No. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck, it's the pressure.
Congratulations.
Like on the spot.
9. So, that means that I win, 9-7.
I'm
but
never going to live that down.
Don't worry, I think the message of the podcast...
I can't add to 10.
As ever... is we are both losers.
Yeah.
That's what we've learned.
Oh, 100%.
Actually, you're sort of fine. You don't come across as a loser in this, which actually made me furious.
What? With my poems, I don't come across as a loser?
No, because you were 10. You're a little child. You got the innocence of youth. I was 17.
Yeah. Yeah. No, these didn't make it into secondary school, I don't think.
Furious about it. You've got one more, right? And that's the template. That's
so
your one.
So this is to, I won't say his first name, but ex Swithenbank. And then in brackets, it says, my love. So it got deep. It got deep.
Okay. Well, this one, you can take it away and I will not interrupt. And we will, we're going to put some production under this and make it seem as loving as the 10-year-old you
goodness.
Would have wanted it to.
Okay. So, right. Tall, dark and handsome, what is the ransom? I'll pay 100 for your love. Captain of the red kites, do you think that we might get married and live happily ever after? I think you're fit and hot, and I definitely will not fall in love with anyone else. I want to kiss you in the cloakroom like we did on Monday, and kiss every day until Sunday, where we will get to the church and I will say I do.
It's about marriage.
I don't think I thought that at the time. I think I was just like... oh, I want to let him know I fancy him. Therefore, I'll tell him we'll get married.
We'll get married. I mean, did you kiss him in the cloakroom on a Monday?
Yeah, yeah. I had it was my first kiss, but like, I don't think you count it because it was one where you just literally peck like birds. It was just that. In fact, I feel like I should address the Captain of the Red Kites reference. So there
Please.
Were four houses in school, and they were all named after birds. There was the Yellow Hammers, the Red Kites, the Blue Jays and the Green Kingfishers. And I was captain of the Red Kites, house captain. Yes, I did be house captain and then go on to be head girl in secondary school.
It's amazing that you don't work at the Pentagon, to be honest.
Honestly, I was robbed of that Pentagon job. And he was the captain of the Red Kites. There was a boy and a girl captain of each
so it was destiny.
Oh, we were like the sort of Beyonce and Jay-Z of that school. Captain of the Red Kites, do you think that we might? I was very, very...
I got to say, rhyming-wise, it starts better than it ends.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Tall, dark and handsome, what is the ransom? I was very impressed with that. I don't think I knew what ransom meant, so I had to ask somebody what rhymes with handsome.
This feels like Aguilera lyrics at the start, and it's even got, like, the structure
of
it. Oh,
yeah.
And then
I'll pay 100 for your love. I'm not sure what that, like, 100... I'm going to guess pounds.
Oh, well, you've got your flush, all the cash from your sweet poetry sales, 50p a verse. How many verses have you got right?
I will pay 100 for your love. That's 100 rhymes with names poems.
Oh, right.
You know.
Yeah. There you go. That's all you need.
I was going to give to Mr. Swithenbank. I can't believe I was so pro-marriage with Mr. Swithenbank because I would not want that last name now. Sorry.
You do promise not to fall in love with anyone else.
That's the thing as well. I think you're fit and hot, and I definitely will not fall in love with... It used to be everyone else, but that was changed to anyone else. I think that's nicer than I will definitely not fall in love with everyone else.
Just anyone who's 17 days older than me.
Yeah, 17 days older than me.
Was Swithenbank older than you?
Isn't that weird that I can't remember if a boy in year six was older than me? I can't... I don't know.
Yeah, I mean it.
I'm...
It's a very specific
question. I don't think that mattered. I think love was blind in year seven, you know.
Yeah.
Well, clearly. And
fair enough.
Tone deaf
and
as well.
And actually, you said that you don't cry at, like, period dramas, but Swithenbank is a very period drama.
Oh, my God, it is. Mr. Swithenbank.
Oh, Swithenbank. Yes. Oh. Well, fair enough. Well, thank you so much, Maisie, for coming in and sharing
you.
With us.
I will never share these again.
Well, you don't have to now.
I'm going to take my football notebook.
Is there anything else in that football notebook?
No.
Did you use it for anything else, or is that just your love book?
This was my love book. The one before it was a thinner notebook, and I'd used all of those pages, and I couldn't find it, but it was a groovy chick one.
Right.
So I was like, I've got a girly one, but also a football one. Yes,
you just had
it was
hearts
an
on the front, and you wrote
Maltese
football scores in it.
Gender stereotypes.
Fair enough. Well, thank you so much. I hope you don't feel embarrassed. You shouldn't.
I'm absolutely mortified, but then you read yours.
Exactly.
And now I feel a little bit better.
And that's the whole premise. That's the whole aim of that bit. Make you feel better.
Good.
About what a loser I was.
Intricate like sand. I'm going to be thinking about that all day.
So there you go. That's the podcast. That was Maisie Adam. What a bizarre little child. We both were. But that was amazing that people would pay her, whether she collected it or not, to write that sort of stuff. Absolutely amazing. I personally never got a commission for anything that I wrote. And I clearly worked a lot harder trying to make names rhyme in mine. I mean, I rhymed 1,000 things with the word hand. How did I never get 50p for that? It's absolutely absurd. Definitely go and check out Maisie live if she's on tour or in Edinburgh. She's a fantastic comedian. Go on her Twitter to find out more about that, I imagine. Also check out her podcast that she does with comedian Tom Lucy. It's called That's a First. It's quite similar. It's all about stories of the first time you did things. I think a lot of them obviously come from childhood. It's very funny. I've done an episode of that. Go and listen to that if you want. I think I was quite hungover at the time, so it's probably fine. But they're very professional and they were very funny. So check that out. Subscribe to the podcast. Give us a review if you liked it. And as ever, I'm on tour. I will never stop being on tour. So come and see that. RhysJames.co.uk for tickets. And I will see you next time.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.